Oh, we're back. Yes, welcome back. NRL Live episode 29. Good to have the theme song back and with us as always. Tigers MS, how are you, mate?
Good, how are you?
Doing well. Week two of the finals, we're getting closer. St. Peter, what about you?
Yeah, mate, going great, thanks.
That's great. Well, we have a fantastic show lined up this week. We're going to review the first round of the NRL Finals. Has anything changed with our prediction for the premiers that we did last week? Brian Smith, he's out at the Sydney Roosters, replaced by Trent Robinson. We analyse the old guard of coaches, Tim Sheens, Wayne Bennett, along with Brian Smith, struggled this year. The new breed, Craig Bellamy, Des Hasler, and the up-and-comers like Anthony Griffin and Michael Maguire doing a great job. Jeff Tuvey, of course, we'll talk about them. We've got to do our season review of the two teams that got knocked out over the weekend, both 8th placed Brisbane and 7th placed Cronulla. And we've got a brand new segment just for the finals. It's the listener question, where we will take a question from one of your listeners out there to the show and break it down. Of course, we've got semi-finals preview and prediction and world of sport as always. Let's start it off with last week's results. We'll look at the under-20s first. In the 1v4 game, West Tigers upset Canterbury 24-20 on Friday night, while the 5v8 game saw St. George 44 accounting for Penrith 20. So the Saints will play Canterbury this week. On Saturday night, Sydney Roosters overcame South Sydney at the death 24-22. They move into this week's game and will play the Warriors, who lost in a thriller down in Canberra 39-38. So both 1 and 2 going down in the under-20s and having to play again this week, while Canberra and West Tigers get the bye. But in the NRL, what it's all about, Friday night, the minor premiers were able to beat Manly despite the fact they weren't favourites going into the game, 16-10. Saturday, Melbourne looked far too good for South Sydney, 24-6. And North Queensland, 33, defeated Brisbane, 16, on the same night to eliminate Brisbane, while Sunday afternoon, down in Canberra, the Raiders, 34, too strong for Cronulla, 16. Guys, what did you make of this weekend's footy? Pete, here you go first for us.
Absolutely. I thought the most impressive performance of the weekend was Melbourne, without a doubt. Mm. I thought the two teams on Friday night, Manly and Canterbury, although it was a dour and close contest, I didn't think the two teams sort of lived up to any great height. The Cowboys are reasonably impressive, although a little patchy against the Broncos, and I think the Cowboys will give Manly a real run for their money on this coming weekend.
Should be a good one.
Absolutely. Very entertaining with Thurston and hopefully Bowen linking up together, as always. South Sydney, I would say, probably the most disappointing team of the weekend.
Yeah.
Brisbane's form, you know, that's just continued on for the last few weeks, and also Cronulla, patchy as well. Canberra, I tell you, the team, if they can get through this week, they are a big chance, the Raiders, from what I saw the other week. Loss of Crow for a big one, but yeah, they played quite well too once they got going on Sunday.
Goal kicking may be an issue with that big loss, Jared Croker, but we'll see. We'll talk about that game against the Rabbitohs, of course, later in the show. Tigers MS, you've picked the Raiders for a while now, sitting pretty right now.
Yeah, they played very well. I thought that was one of the better games of the weekend. Yeah, just had a really good finals feel about it, and you just can't beat playing the daytime for finals. To be honest, I think that's a great time to play a final. As for the Manly Dogs game, it was a pretty good game, but it cost Manly quite a bit. They lost Matt Eye and they lost Lyon. That's gonna possibly hurt him next week. I know Lyon's been named for Manly.
Yeah,
I don't think he's gonna play though, to be honest. Apparently, it should that the NRL is trying to get Manly fans to actually travel to the game, which I find is unbelievable. Just to get to the game.
They don't like going west of the Pacific Highway up there.
Oh, my God. I just can't believe it. Yeah, look, I thought the Cowboys looked really quick against Brisbane. Maybe it was just Brisbane were a little bit off the pace. They looked really fast. They weren't particularly... they weren't blemish-free execution-wise, but they always seem to have the game in hand. And Melbourne, I think, showed what I thought was going to happen to Souths in the finals. They just blew them out of the water early, and they really had no answers. I think this year might be the learning curve for Souths in the finals, and next year might be their charge at the big one.
There's no doubt the criticism of South Sydney for much of the year has been they can't perform against the bigger teams, the better teams, when the real sort of job is on the line. They have failed every time, and last week they failed again. So there's huge question marks. They've got the roster, there's no doubt about that, but there's huge question marks on whether they just have the ability to play at this level at this stage of their development. But you're right, maybe another 12 months they can get there. But Melbourne, geez, they're firming for premiers. They're firming in my view. Tigers MS, anything changed from last week for you?
Yeah. Look, I was on Manly, but that's changed. I think North Queensland's probably going to beat them, given how much that game took out of them. And I think Melbourne do look pretty good things to be... to be premiers. However, I'm still going to stick with the Smoky of Canberra, just in the background there. If they get over the top of South, which I think they can do, it'll be a very interesting grand final qualifier.
Yeah, there's no doubt Manly missed Jamie Lyon. We watched the game together on Friday night, and we were saying when Ennis and Lyon went off, that was basically the soul of each team has just gone off. So who will cope with it better? And at halftime, Ennis came back. Lyon did not, and I think I turned to you and said, that's the game. Bulldogs will win. Yeah. And sure enough, that's what happened. They can't win without Jamie Lyon. So he's been named, but their season is done if he can't get on the field, I think. Pete, what about you? Anything changed from your perspective?
No, I did tip Melbourne before last weekend, and I'm still going to stick with them. Yeah, for me, I must admit that I thought that the South Melbourne game was going to be a lot closer than it was. But yeah, you guys were absolutely spot on with that prediction. One thing about Manly last week on Friday night, I thought that they really had opportunities to win that game, but panicked at crucial times in the second half. And maybe that was a lack of Jamie Lyon in the second half. And I tell you what, when is Steve Maddai going to learn to keep his arms down in tackles? This is how many times, this must be about six or seven times, this guy is coming up for suspension. He's got the option of taking 1 week or fighting it and possibly getting two. And you know, how a guy with his record only gets 1 week for high tackle, I don't know.
Well, I find it amazing he can get his arm above vertical. above horizontal.
It was a tackle.
How many times he gets strapped.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it was a tackle where, back in the old days, I think we were talking about Gary Larson and John Lomax, if you remember, was it? Or was it Quinton Pongia, one of those two?
Pongia, I think it was, yeah.
Being sent off in a final there, I think it was 94.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was the same type of tackle. Matt, in eras gone past, he would have gone for that. So the fact he's only going to get a week with that record astonishes me.
Yeah, and Pomeroy got 2 weeks for basically a guy who's pretty much a first defence type of player the week before, so work that one out.
I think the point is you can't, and that's exactly the point of why it's been so controversial week in, week out this year. And guys, just before we move on, I mean, Pete, none of us have mentioned Canterbury. Are we not giving them enough credit? Did they, you know, they deserve the week off? They played pretty well Friday night.
Well, there's no form like winning form, I guess, is there? You know, they're still, despite being minor premiers, like they just haven't blown teams off the park that much this year. It's been a lot of very close wins. They just seem to do enough against Manly. Their defence was very good. I didn't think Manly played to their full potential, but Canterbury just seem to be able to do enough to win. It's like they're not playing at 100%, but maybe, guys, if they do, they've only got two wins to go to win the premiership. So, all the power to them if they do it, but they just don't look like a number one team, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they play the winner of Souths and Canberra, and I know Canberra in form, but and they beat Canterbury, you know, in Canberra a few weeks ago, but my money would probably still be on the Bulldogs there, which, you know, I think they've got the easier side of the draw, if you will. I think the Manly, North Queensland, Melbourne side is a lot tougher, so they could get a saloon passage there to the grand final.
Yeah, it could be. But sorry, just to interrupt, but if you've noticed the with the new final system, I think it's working the way they want it to work, because the last six teams left are the teams 1-6. So,
yeah, and the top two, that you know, they're now if they win,
yeah, one win away from the G. Yeah,
yeah, like a Wimbledon style, it's set up that one will play two in the grand final, which the two teams both have home games, and if they don't do it, it's their own fault.
Yep.
So we can put a big tick next to that decision by the ARL Commissioner. And we'll move on. Brian Smith has been sacked by the Sydney Roosters. There's been talk of him losing the locker room, so to speak, losing the players' respect, and that the Roosters had no option but to get rid of him. They've brought over a bit of an unknown in Trent Robinson. Guys, is this indicative now of a new era of NRL where, you know, the Tim Sheens, who's under a lot of pressure, the Brian Smiths, even Wayne Bennett, who won a premiership 2 years ago against the grand final against Brian Smith, the coach team. But you know, a lot's changed in 24 months. Has the old guard had their day? Pete, you've had both Brian Smith and Wayne Bennett under the tutelage of your Dragons. Do you think that the day is done for these old-timers?
I think that I think you have to look at results, and you know, particularly from Brian Smith. Yes, they did make the grand final in 2010, but what went so wrong last year and what's gone so wrong this year? I can handle one really bad year, but two in a row is questionable. Having said that, I remember when Ricky Stewart was given the boot from the Roosters, that Warren Ryan said he would never coach that club the way that they do things. Mr. Blighter seems to be a very hard man to please. I personally, my club owned, and have had Steve Price this year as a first grade coach. I personally would prefer a higher profile, older, more experienced coach. I think he's better able to keep players under control, particularly bigger ego players. And not only that, also generally attract better signings to the club as well.
But of the newer coaches that are left, I guess, because Stephen Kearney and Brian McLennan were both sacked mid-year, but Steve Price was the only one not to make the eight. I mean, you got Jeff Toovey, you got Michael Maguire, Anthony Griffin, Flanagan. They've all done great jobs. Jeff Toovey hasn't been given enough credit, considering the fact that the team made the top four again. I mean, he hasn't done that bad a job. Obviously, Michael Maguire and Stuart Flanagan are getting great raps.
Deservedly so.
And deservedly so. And I think Anthony Griffin, even though Brisbane kind of fell by the wayside this year without Darren Lockyer, I don't think that people are pointing the finger at him that much. I think he's generally done a pretty good job up there.
Yeah, well, the Broncos have signed him up for another 3 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's there long term. Whether the old guys are done, I don't know. Maybe it's becoming more of a young man's game. I remember, as I said, when we had successive years, if you remember, in 2001, Michael Hagan's first grade coach in Newcastle won the premiership.
Mm.
Next year, Ricky Stewart did the same thing with the Roosters.
Mm.
The Dragons immediately jumped on board and decided to grab Nathan Brown as a first-year coach, and unfortunately didn't go quite as well, at the least. And they also had an experienced coach in Andrew Farrer as well. I'd personally prefer to go the older, more experienced guys. But, these young guys have come along. It'd be interesting to see how we look at guys like Shane Flanagan and Jeff Toovey and Mike Maguire in about another 3 or 4 years.
That'll be the big test over time. Tigers MS We don't have West Tigers live this week, but we will next week. We'll talk in more detail about Tim Sheens then. But there is a lot of talk amongst, I guess, the rugby league fraternity that he may be kicked out there. We've talked about it on previous West Tigers shows. Is it just a case of some of these guys getting too stale, the older guard?
Look, I don't know if it's too stale. I think it might be a case of horses for courses, depending on what works with your team. Like, you might have, as in the case with the Tigers, you've had Tim Sheens come in, and then they've won a premiership very early on.
Yeah.
And he's made an impact on a lot of the younger players. Like, even the guys who've moved on, like Bryce Gibbs and Dean Halitau, they still are really like Tim Sheens, and still keep in contact with a lot of guys from the club. So it's very hard, because I mean, South took a big punt on Maguire. I mean, I know he did quite well over English Premier League, the Super League. But then Brian McLennan did quite well over there as well, and saw what happened to him with the Warriors. I think they really got the CEOs or whoever's hiring the coaches for the actual team really has to take a look at the dynamics of the team, and if they're a young side, then perhaps they either need a young coach, or B, do they need an older coach to pull their heads in? It's pretty tough. I mean, the older guys haven't had a good year this year. To be honest, I don't think it's got anything to do with their coaching, and I think it's got a lot to do with the playing staff this time round. I mean, you saw how Wayne Bennett eventually got the Knights to buy into his philosophies towards the end of the year, and they were playing pretty well.
Yep.
You've seen what Tim Sheens can do. I mean, he had a very similar team the previous season, and they ended up third. Mm. In this season, they ended up ninth.
Tenth.
Sorry, 10th, yes. So you've seen what happens there. You've seen Parramatta, after getting rid of an older type coach in Daniel Anderson. I mean, he's not older, but, you know, he's a bit more established. And they went through and eventually ended up with Kearney, and everyone's seen what's happened there. So, yeah, it'll be very interesting in the case of the Roosters with Brian Smith. I mean, I'm not sure if Brian Smith's going to get another job. He might. He might not.
I'd be surprised. I mean, he might go back to the media.
Yeah, whenever a club needs a clean-out, he's your man. and I know, I'm being dead serious. If I was taking over a club that was down on the dumps, I would hire him on a two-year contract, and after that, he's nowhere near the joint. It'd be interesting to see how he goes with the alleged attitude of the Roosters, but there's also the story that Brian Smith had cleaned it up a lot from what it was at. So I think it's a horses for courses thing. The younger guys are always going to possibly keep the pressure on the older guys and be more inventive, and it's up to the older guys to keep up with the times, I guess.
Well, there's no doubt that when players take over and have too much say, it very rarely works well. We've seen it out at Penrith, and that's why they got rid of Matthew Elliott, because Penrith had too much say. We've seen it in rugby union with the ACT Brumbies in years gone by, and they're a shadow of the team they used to be, although it is getting back turned around this year under a new coach, the South African. It doesn't work. The Warriors probably had a harder man in Ivan Cleary than they had in Brian McLennan, and we all saw how that turned around. Whereas South Sydney went from, you know, a fairly likeable fellow in John Lang, who decided to retire and hand the reins over to pretty much a tough nut, Michael Maguire. And, you know, they've gone from, you know, in leaps and bounds. So just because the players don't like a coach doesn't mean the coach won't be successful. In fact, usually it's the opposite. But we'll keep following it. Any more breaking news happens during the final series, we'll be here to bring it to you and discuss it and break it down. And, of course, next year we'll be able to analyse it further, see how some of these young guys continue to go. And, obviously, Trent Robinson joins that group, and who knows who else there over in New Zealand. Okay, guys, we are running short on time. Let's quickly do the season review of both Brisbane and Cronulla. First, the Broncos. Well, I thought the highlights was their defence. I thought they were very good in defence and very structured. You know, and obviously their early start to the season, pre-Origin, they were very, very good. Obviously the lowlights was the consistency. After Origin, they fell away. They didn't even have as many players as they usually do playing in Origin, but it just didn't seem to work out for them after that. They just seemed to lack attacking potency. And no doubt in the halves in particular, they certainly missed Darren Lockyer. Tigers MS, can you sum up their season in a sentence or two?
Well, I guess when it all started, they thought, me included, thought no Lockyer hangover. But as time went on, I think it really showed towards the back end of the season.
Yeah, it did. Are they on the downward trend, or can they reverse it next year?
I think they'll be much of a muchness. Corey Norman will be better if they are going to stick with him in the six.
They've got to stick with him. I mean, I didn't like that change.
There was a lot of there's a bit of talk about Quade Cooper.
Really?
Will he go there? Will he go to the Roosters?
It's what I've heard, Brisbane, because he lives in Queensland at the moment. Mm. But if he plays, I mean, to be honest, yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to the Roosters and Mitchell Pearce leaves.
Could be a boom or bust kind of guy.
James Maloney and Quade Cooper, the halves for next year.
There's some speculation, guys. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. You never know with that team at a Bondi. You never know. And what about Cronulla? I thought for them the highlights was definitely the toughness. They showed a lot of toughness under their new regime, I guess, although it's been going for a couple of years now. And, you know, obviously Paul Gallen, he is just a mountain of a player. I thought that was definitely a highlight. And the form of their halves, Jeff Robson and Todd Carney, it was a risk to bring both of them over, really, for different reasons. Robson had probably been a bit of a journeyman up to that point, whereas Carney, obviously, with all the controversy and off-field issues, they really gelled well after they came together in the opening week three, I think it was. And, you know, they're probably a couple of players away, I would have thought, from really making an impact in the finals race. The low lights, I guess, you would just have to say they just lacked that killer punch. Probably just a couple of big-name players. They're going to get Luke Lewis next year. If they can find another one, an outside back, Colin Best is retiring, they may just be a top-four team next year. Pete, can you break down the Cronulla season in a sentence or two?
Yeah, basically, yeah, just very quickly, just basically a season of two halves for the Sharks. I thought they fought very well. Picking up Bryce Gibson, particularly Andrew Fafita, as you said, Todd Carney as well. I think they might have suffered a little bit of Origin hangover, though, not used to having a few players backing up after Origin. A lot of clubs have said it's a very emotional Origin series, very draining, a lot of players, and I think that may have knocked Cronulla around there, with Gallen and Carney particularly.
Yeah.
So they did fall away a bit at the end of the season there, typical Cronulla fashion. But in all seriousness, they're picking up Luke Lewis and Michael Gordon for next year. The fact that the club is now financially secure with the recent announcement of a sale of a parcel of land, or they do some development down there. The council's given a green light for that. So I think the club is in very good hands with Flanagan, and I think they look bigger and better in the future.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're on the up and up, and I guess we'll see how it goes next year. I think they're pretty proud of the way they went this year. It was an achievement to make the finals, and maybe that contributed to them losing in the end on Sunday, because maybe they'd kind of felt their job was done, but certainly bigger and better things for them next year.